Our guest today is Joy Wilson. And I want to tell you a little bit about Joy. She has lived in Wahala your whole life. Is that accurate?
Except for Charleston for a few years for school. Yes.
Ah, okay. And she went to school at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, and in 2010 received her clinical doctorate degree in occupational therapy from Chatham University in Pittsburgh. She has been a pediatric occupational therapist for 17 years and works for the Oconee County School System. So to get going, we are going to ask Joy a few questions. What would you say, Joy, is the importance for children, this is preschool children, of having books in their hands and being read to versus apps and technology? Because there's so many apps and technology and other digital devices in our world today.
There's a time and a place for technology and apps, but when kids develop, their brain develops the most between 0 and 5, and the importance of having books in their hands during that time have a huge impact on their development. It affects their motor development, being able to hold the books, turn the pages, a lot of your interactive books with flaps and tabs that they can pull, the interaction between the parents, being able to talk and engage with them, and just engaging all of those senses, whether it's their eyes, their hands, the smell, the textures of the books, really just feeds into that brain development.
So, and particularly when you talk about the visual components, which I think you're going to address the importance of being immersed in words, sounds, visual surroundings, and how that all links to the reading. But when you look at that visual, I know you're going to talk about that a little bit more, but it is a skill that can be developed that actually enhances the reading process.
Absolutely. Just being able to, when you think about vision and reading, most people think of 20/20 vision, which is the acuity, but there's another side that needs to be understood for reading. Kids need what we call visual perceptual skills, which are visual closure, discrimination, and things like that. And all of those skills are also developed between 0 and 6. And the importance of seeing the words on pages and learning to read left to right and watch the parents scan with their finger all impacts that development.
And so there are underlying building blocks or systems that need to be in place in order for children to actually develop that. Can you address some of those?
Yes. Some of the things that we look at is just being able to, the way the brain develops, you really want to make sure that all of those systems are developing. And the more the three-dimensional books really help with that. We look at sometimes looking at a screen too long can definitely cause issues with, it's more mentally taxing to look at a screen, believe it or not. I know it seems easier to us at our age, but for kids, their systems need to work through all of the different senses that are being put in when they're reading a book.
And you identified like the vestibular system, the proprioceptive system, the tactile, and then we mentioned the visual system, and all those are really, really big words. Can you spend a few minutes and just kind of break that down as to what those systems are?
The tactile, of course, is just the touch of the books, turning the pages. A lot of your books for younger kids have the different rough textures, soft textures, and we really want kids to be engrossed in that because it helps develop those systems. As far as vestibular, a lot of times I think we forget that kids stay in walkers and infant carriers and things like that, and a lot of times they're just given a phone or a screen in those positions, and the vestibular system is something that develops when they're upright, sitting in the parent's lap, moving from side to side and things like that. And when we just leave kids sitting in a walker or in front of a TV, those systems are not developing the way that they should.
So what does vestibular even mean?
It's actually connected to the inner ear and the way that your body moves in space. And we see impacts with it your body has to learn how to take all of those senses and develop them at one time. And a lot of times we see kids where one or more of the systems is underdeveloped, and they can be hypersensitive, they can be your wigglers and your movers, if things don't develop the way that they should.
So vestibular has a lot to do with balance, Karen, in that when you are, oftentimes we don't realize that rolling down a hill is stimulating your vestibular system, doing somersaults, just moving in space. And if children spend too much time in one place, then these other areas are not developed. And so address that from the proprioceptive. How would you define proprioceptive?
Proprioceptive is the input that you get through like deep pressure, having somebody hold you when they read, the importance of just being wrapped in somebody's arms. It's a calming, believe it or not. A lot of kids like that touch. They like to have the deep pressure and the hugs, and it just helps them develop that system as well.
That's kind of an awareness of where your body is in space. And if you have a child who can't walk down the hall without dragging their hands on the wall, you may have a child who's constantly trying to orient their body. So again, that just reinforces preliminary and building blocks for the reading.
And a lot of your interactive stories like row, row, row your boat and the itsy bitsy spider and things like that that come with those hand movements and those rocking movements and things like that can give the kids what they're needing to develop at that age. So not just books, but all the stories we grew up with that have all the motions and the movements are just as important as the reading.
And the rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember when we talked earlier, you also said that too much technology could be detrimental to brain development and impacts reading. Could you sort of go into that?
There are preliminary studies that are showing that excessive screen time is linked to the inability to pay attention, which we see in schools when the kids get to school and they have a hard time staying on task. It also has shown some links to language delays, poor sleep, and impaired executive function. Just being able to do higher level skills in the classroom. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're damaging the brain. It's just showing that it's a very passive thing in brain development. And we all know that brain development needs to be more active and engaging for all of the reflexes to integrate, for all the systems to develop. And again, that 0 to 5 is the most important time for that brain development.
And I've even seen some recent studies that show not only the inability to pay attention, but the inability to self-calm, to be able to not have that stimulation in order to go to sleep. I have some students that have to have the TV on or they have to have their phone nearby, mm-hmm. and that self-calming is also...
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I guess I've read studies that show that when you use a lot of electronic devices like iPads or whatever, you impair an executive function, which impairs your ability to control your impulses, to problem solve, to make decisions, and all of those things are so critical to behavior, to so many things that a child needs every single day, really, as an infant, as a toddler, and certainly in school. So...
Yes, we're definitely seeing a rise in very bright children who are having difficulty with their emotions, their attention, just like the executive functioning. And I do think that right now there's not a lot of longitudinal studies because it's fairly recent that we've been immersing our such young children into technology. But if you look at the preliminary studies, it's definitely linking it to some of that.
Right.
So you also, back to the visual system that we talked a little bit about, I think that maybe a little more definition of what you mean when you talk about visual function, perceptual skills, discriminatory skills, those are all kind of big words that may not have meaning to some of our listeners?
What we're seeing is a lot of kids who are starting to read, when they start looking at letters, if you look at the letters that look the same, like A and O and P and Q, kids who have weak visual perceptual skills usually have difficulty in one of these areas. Mostly it's visual closure that we're seeing. And again, that's something that should be developing that is not developing the way that it should. And so these kids are having a really hard time learning their sight words in school. Spelling is very hard for them. A lot of times when you talk to the child and you realize what they're seeing, they may be seeing the O and the B on top of each other, and that's why they're missing it on spelling or why they're missing it on reading. Again, reading has so much that goes into it from your eyes when you think about it. It's the visual closure, the discrimination, being able to tell the letters that are different, the ones that are similar but yet different, that discrimination. Spatial awareness is huge.
So why is this? First of all, what does visual closure mean? And secondly, why are children seeing letters on top of each other and not being able to discriminate letters?
Again, why? There's a lot of research going on right now, but some of it has been linked to the screens and the technology. The fact that we're taking a kid's three-dimensional world and we're putting it into a two-dimensional world, and that, you know, our brains were meant to develop in that three-dimensional world. And it goes back not to just screen time, but again, that compartment, we call it compartment syndrome in a way, but it's keeping them compartmentalized in the strollers, the walkers, and things like that. And so all this feeds into that same development. A lot of your car seats have the head protectants that go out like this, and so that perceptual skills of your surroundings, a lot of kids are not getting that going down the road or in restaurants when kids are not upright in a high chair seeing what's going on around them. A lot of times we're limiting their vision, and those skills that we would naturally develop in their environment are not developing the way that they should. And that all goes back into those visual perceptual skills.
And is all connected to reading to your child?
Yes, definitely. So we just really need to make sure we're getting books in their hands, making sure that we're having them play, interacting with them, moving them, singing to them, rhyming to them. Just really making sure that they're ready, that their brains are developing the way that they should.
And also that we are getting them out of strollers a little bit, mm-hmm. that we're getting them out of high chairs a little bit, and that we're letting them walk around, and by three-dimensional, we're letting them, you know, see the world without being confined. Mm-hmm. Whether it be to a crib, whether it be to a stroller, whether it be to whatever.
Or to a screen.
To a screen. Mm-hmm. And so they can explore and play.
Which is the number one development of how we develop those skills.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is critical. In fact, I have just written my February journal article is on play and the importance of play to infants and toddlers, and you know, it is really being
we're even
left
seeing
out.
A lot of primitive reflexes that are in infants that are supposed to integrate on their own.
Right.
We're now seeing some of those in children that are school age, and those reflexes have not integrated. Some of the reasons they're not integrating is kids aren't crawling, they're not going outside and playing and climbing and running, and like Kathy had mentioned earlier, that vestibular system, swings, playground equipment, things like that are important to all of those systems developing.
Right.
So definitely play is hitting all of those.
And the interaction, when you talk about interacting with their world and exploring and all this, it's also important that the parents are there with them. And that a lot of language development comes from parents talking out loud, thinking out loud, asking appropriate questions. How does that feel? What do you see? Talking about colors. This is why we're doing this. So those are also preliminary skills to comprehension and words and text when you're doing that.
And also using math concepts like, you know, counting, you know, let's put on your shoes so we can go outside and play. We're putting on one shoe. We're putting on one sock. We're putting on two socks. We're putting on one shoe. We're putting on two shoes, etc.
It's the simple things that I think are being forgotten that just talking to your child, playing I Spy, like you said, jumping and counting, right. and, you know, how many times can you hop? Everybody looks at technology as it's going to make my kid go further academically,
yeah.
but that's not always the case at such a young age. Like I said, right. there is a time and a place for technology, but those first 5 years is so critical to engage in the books, the language, the play, and those kind of things.
Right. Right.
I've even heard a new diagnosis called nature deficit disorder, in which our children are spending so much time on technology and in the houses, in homes or cars or whatever, that they're not getting out and having that interaction mm-hmm. with nature mm-hmm. and being calm, being still,
yes.
listening, paying attention, mm-hmm. noticing, all those kinds yes. of things. And sometimes it is very hard, I think, for parents and even educators to understand what the building blocks are in order for them to be academically successful.
Yes.
So pushing things down too far can actually be detrimental.
Yes, yes.
So.
Well, I think this is all very true, and hopefully, you know, people have heard, Joy, what you have to say, because I think it's all very enlightening and hopefully will be very helpful to parents. And we're very pleased that you were able to come and join us this Saturday.